Today's episode of Sweeten Up Podcast is brought to you by Uncle Matt's Bakery and Cafe, located at 105 Churchill Road in beautiful downtown Sandy Hook, Connecticut. Uncle Matt's is your neighborhood cafe, but with a worldly view of baking you won't find anywhere else in the area. Stop in to grab a quick coffee or espresso, or meet your friends for long conversation and share any one of their delectable sandwiches, baked goods, or salads. Uncle Matt's atmosphere is casual and cozy, all about convenience. Place your order online and pick it up whenever you have time. You might even run into Uncle Matt himself, the great Matthew Kirshner, one of the nicest guys around and a guest of ours on Season 2, Episode 82 and 83. Take it from me, Uncle Matt's is the real deal, and you might even see me there, enjoying a dirt bomb, a coffee, and my personal favorite, the fried eggplant sandwich, which is absolutely to die for. Check them out today at UncleMattsBakeryAndCafe.com, as well as on Instagram. Just search for Uncle Matt's Bakery and Cafe. Uncle Matt's Bakery and Cafe, exceptionally simple ingredients made extraordinarily delicious. Experience the best recipe in town. Thank you so much to Uncle Matt's for being our third sponsor of Season 3. Today's episode of Sweeten Up Podcast is brought to you by Andy Sachs and Around Town Real Estate, a family-owned real estate brokerage with all the reach of those other guys, but with a commitment to bring local back to local real estate. Located in my beautiful hometown of Newtown, Connecticut, Around Town Real Estate is the go-to for all of your real estate needs, covering much of Fairfield, New Haven, and Litchfield counties. Give them a call today at 203-200-0851. Again, that's 203-200-0851. Or check them out online at aroundtownrealestatect.com. Thank you to Andy Sachs and his team for being our first sponsor of Season 3. And now, let's start the show. Hey everyone, what's going on? It's been a minute, but Sweeten Up Podcast is back. Welcome one and all to season number 4. As always, I am your host, Jeff Spencer, and I have a fantastic episode of the podcast for you today. But real quick, before we kick things off with today's guests, if you are listening to the podcast for the first time, be sure to check out our library of 111 episodes anywhere you listen to your podcasts. You can also find the podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Sweeten Up Podcast. We also have partnered with Candlewood Gear and have a killer merch store. Be sure to check that out as well. The link for the store will be in the episode description, as well as on our social media pages. Last but not least, if you enjoyed today's episode, it would mean the world to us if you could share, subscribe, or leave a review. We thank you for your support. All right, with housekeeping out of the way, my guests on the podcast today are my dear friends, Rob Hadar and Kyle Sorensen, the gentlemen behind Yumi Broshi, a Hawaiian street food pop-up located out of Bar 140 in Shelton, Connecticut. Kyle Sorensen and Rob Hadar, who have been in the food industry for some time and with knowledge of different cultures and palates, created a realm to create food without the stereotypical toxicity within kitchens. As they say, they just wanted to have fun making food without all of the bullshit. They're not looking to make their way up the social ladder or win awards. They just want to make food from scratch that people can enjoy. Consider them the anti-heroes, the supervillains, serving corn dogs on fine china. Kyle and Rob are two incredible human beings. Lots of laughs were had in this episode, and I know you are really going to enjoy this one. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here they are, episode number 112, with my friends Rob Hadar and Kyle Sorensen. Joining me on the podcast today here in Brookfield, Connecticut, sitting across the couch from me is a couple individuals I've been meaning to have on for quite a long time, and I can't wait to chat with them, and I'm so glad they are here. They are the gentlemen that make up Yumi Broshi, a really awesome kitchen pop-up located at Bar 140 in Shelton, Connecticut. Such a great spot. And they are the great and powerful Rob Hadar and Kyle Sorensen. And guys, how are you doing today? What's going on?
What's going on, Jeff? Doing good. Happy to be here.
Awesome.
I'm also doing good and very happy to be here. Like, probably more happy than Rob is.
That's awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. It's really awesome to have you guys here. Obviously, on a Monday. I mean, you guys are industry guys, so today is one of the days where you can get out and kind of do something like this.
it's our glory day.
Yeah. So it's great to have you guys here. Really, really appreciate it. And you know, one place I like to start with my guests is, you know, how has the year been so far? You know, obviously you have Yumi Broshi and just things that you do on the side, and we'll definitely get into all that. But how has the year been, and what are some things you guys have been up to lately, and what could you tell me?
Yeah, the year's been pretty good, just from where we started to where we are now. You know, we're slinging some food in our friend's bar every Tuesday, so that's been really cool. Yeah, man, just meeting a lot of new people and moving forward one step at a time.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been a crazy eventful year for me. I finally feel like a real grown up. You know, I just turned 30, just got engaged. We've been doing Umar Broshi for a year. So yeah, it's been like super eventful, super busy. No days off, really.
Nice.
it's all good.
That's awesome. And congrats on the engagement, man. That's great. Awesome.
Thank you.
Let's take it back from the very beginning. And I guess, you know, I'll start with Rob since you got the mic there. And then, yeah, for those listening, we had got a little mic cord issue here. So we're got these guys sharing a mic, and they're doing a good job. We appreciate them for it. So where are you from? You know, where'd you grow up and everything like that? And was sort of being in the industry that you're in right now something you thought maybe you would be in? Or what were sort of, you know, your plans?
So I didn't think that I was going to be in this industry at all. I went to school for like photography and art and shit. And
oh, cool.
I was working at Kwasi in, was that Middlebury or some shit?
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah. Over there, yeah. Kwasi's legendary.
Oh, yeah. Many, many good stories over there.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I grew up in Woodbury. Kind of all started off, Borat had just come out, so a really long time ago. I feel like I'm showing my age right now, but that's cool. And I couldn't go see it unless I got a job, because I was like jobless for like 2 months or whatever. So I got my friend Benny was like, I can get you a dishwashing job at this hotel. The same Benny who is at the Benjamin.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Benjamin is great. I was just there recently.
Yeah. Still got to go check that place out.
Yeah. Great spot.
Support him. But yeah, so I started dishwashing, got to see Borat. Life was great. And yeah, one thing led to another. Ended up on the line like a year later. And yeah, here I am now, cooking, slaying.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice, awesome. And how about you, Kyle?
Yeah, also never ever expected to be doing this. I used to like microwave bacon when I was growing up, so I never saw it coming. I love to tell people that now. Yeah, my mom was not a great cook growing up. My dad was, luckily. So he would always be making like beer can chicken and rum and coke steaks and stuff like that. So he kind of introduced me to good food. But I was going to school at Westcon to be a writer. And
oh, wow. Okay.
Kind of just started like partying too hard and not taking school seriously. Ended up dropping out, and then was like, had no idea what I was going to do with my life. And my dad was just like, well, you know, you kind of like dabbling around on the grill. Why don't you go try cooking? And just started working when I was 20 and fell in love with it right away.
That's cool. So, yeah. What aspect of writing were you sort of going to school for?
I wanted to do journalism.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. I was really interested in that as well.
Yeah.
I had some aspirations to go to school for journalism too. It didn't really work out, but I did take some journalism related classes. So I feel you on that. I enjoyed that too.
Yeah. I think like some people, especially my mom, really gassed me up. So I thought I was really good, but I was pretty mediocre.
So. Hey, no, that happens. I mean, I wrote for Metzmerized Online, which I don't know if it still is, but at the time when I was writing for them, I would think I was still in high school. It was like 2008, 2009, 2010, stuff like that. I wrote for them, and they were the number one New York Met fan website. So like thousands of people were reading all that stuff. So it was like sports journalism, but it was a lot of fun. And some of my articles would end up on Bleacher Report back when Bleacher Report was run by people and not like what it is now, where it's run by actual, like, you know, they hire columnists and stuff. Back in the day, Bleacher Report was all run by people who posted articles on, you know, of their own content, which is a lot of fun. It was cool.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
It was cool.
I vibe with you on that journalism thing.
We would have professors bring us down to the Danbury courthouse and like watch stuff go down, and then we would write up reports about it for the newspaper and stuff.
Got you. So where are you from?
New Milford.
New Milford?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. So
right down the road.
Okay, so this area you know all too well.
Yep.
Nice. How was New Milford growing up? All right.
It was good. Yeah, I love it. Lots of good nature and stuff.
Yeah, I like the downtown. The downtown's pretty cool. You can walk around, you know, stuff like that, which is cool. But nice. Awesome, man. That's cool. So how did you get in? I'll get to you on this question too, Rob, but so you said the grill. So then how did it transpire from there? And then what were some of the first, you know, gigs that you had and sort of how did it matriculate?
Kind of randomly. I went into a job placement program. It was like a 3-month little stint. I think it's called Candlewood Community Culinary School. It's on the Green in New Milford.
Oh, cool.
They put me in. I got an internship through them across the street at La Piccolina. I think they're still there. A little Italian restaurant.
Is Candlewood still there too?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
And then worked there for 2 years. It was really hard, and the guy busted my chops, but I'm glad now that he did.
Yeah.
And then kind of every 1 or 2 years, I would change jobs, always looking for something different than what I had already done. You know, now I'm at where we're at.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. That's awesome. So, Rob, same question to you. So, you know, when did it really start for you, and in what way, and how did it sort of just take off and to where you are, you know, to where you are now?
So, like I said, I started off at Danbury Crown Plaza, or no, I started off at Southbury Crown Plaza. Was there, like I said, like dishwasher maybe for 1.5 years. Then one of the line cooks got fired, and this other line cook, Gabby, was like, you know, the kitchen, why don't you give it a shot? And I was like, all right, let's go. Did that for a little bit. Then ended up moving to Danbury. So I started at Danbury Crown Plaza, cooking there. There was no chef there at the time. It was just like a bunch of us hooligans kind of running the kitchen. And then this guy came, Mike Sorensen, not related to Kyle, although I kind of think that he is. It's Sorensen thing. But he's actually the chef at Foundry right now where I work, and I've known him all this time. He's one of my good friends. But yeah, he started working there, and then he kind of was super into cooking, and he like kind of opened my eyes to it more. It wasn't just a job, and I was like learning how to make sauces and stocks and learning new ingredients and stuff. So then I fell in love with cooking and started getting cookbooks and kind of learning on my own. And then fast forward, like went like job to job every few years. And kind of what Kyle said, I was like looking for something new that I didn't know because I wanted to learn more. And then Taproot came out of the blue and they were looking for somebody, so I like immediately applied and did that for a little while. Now I'm at Foundry.
Very cool. Definitely tell me about Taproot, your time there, because obviously Jeff Tavey, Steph Sweeney being, you know, legends and stuff, and really, really well known in the industry. So how was it like working there, and you know, what was that experience like for you?
It was a very good experience. Definitely learned a lot from Jeff. He's a super talented chef. Pretty much kind of got me into like Asian food and the culture and the ingredients, and kind of what brought me here now today into like Umeboroshi and stuff. But yeah, working with them was great. We definitely had a lot of good times. Yeah, I don't know. I learned a lot from that guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Such a great place.
Oh yeah.
I never had a bad meal there. It was always exceptional. Really, really good stuff.
Yeah. You can't go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's great. So how did you and Kyle sort of link up? Obviously, like you just kind of spoke on, you guys have worked in a similar places and everything like that, but how did, How did you guys say, like, you know, when was it when you guys were like, hey, let's do something, you know, let's do something different together, you know, and go for that?
It's probably what, like a year after you left Taproot, or that year?
Feels like it was almost like 2 years ago, probably, from now. We had both, you were towards the end of your time there, I was towards the beginning, and we started hanging out like every Friday at your apartment down the road from there, drinking, making food. And I remember one night you made spam musubi, either that or mochiko chicken. It was one of the two, Hawaiian food. And we were all just like blown away by it and started talking about like, all right, we should maybe pursue this kind of food right here. It's really, really good.
Wow. And like, Rob, what inspired you to make that?
Yeah, so I think I was like, was going down like a YouTube hole or something like that, and they popped up, and I'm like, oh shit, spam musubi. I fucking love spam, so I figured, you know, I'm gonna make this. I had all the stuff at my house to make it, and then it was a Friday night, so I was like, I'm gonna test this out when everybody's here and we're all drinking and shit, and hopefully it hits. Yeah, and it was really good. I think it was spam musubi first, and then the next week, I was like, I'm going to make mochiko chicken.
And what's spam musubi?
So it's pretty much spam. Like the traditional musubi is like shit ton of sushi rice, spam wrapped in nori. That's like when you go to Hawaii, it's like in all the stores and the gas stations. And, you know, it's their main little snack, if
that's
you will.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
Hell yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So that was kind of like what started it. And like Kyle said, we were like, you know what, let's do something, you know, of our own. And after kind of like weeks of just partying on Fridays and making food, we were like, the ideas started coming in. We're like, let's focus on this kind of food. And then it was like, we got to think of a name for this. So yeah, that kind of, that's how it all started.
That's sweet, man. Yeah. That's awesome. So the name, how'd you decide on the name, Yumi Broshi? Because I know I got in big trouble for saying how the name really came together. So I apologize for that.
Oh, it's quite all right. But, it was actually really funny.
I hope I added some comedy to, you know,
oh, always. The and situation. We appreciate the comedy very much.
That's good. That's good.
We were all like pretty drunk and we were like, oh, what are we going to name this? Like, let's all think of some names and next Friday we'll go through all of them and pick one. And,
nice.
Me and Kyle still kind of argue about how Kyle says that he came up with the name, but I think that I came up with the name, but that's nor here or there.
Gotcha.
I have proof. but yeah. We just went down the list and Yumi Broshi was like
the night Yumi Broshi broke up. Sweeten Up podcast.
Where are
Hollywood they? True stories. Where are they now?
Where are they now? Tune in at 10 o'clock.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Sorry. If the night of us arguing about somebody pooping their pants didn't break us up, which it almost did, this isn't going to do it. Yeah, yeah, we've been through way more controversial.
That's a great story. Can you elaborate?
No. That's as much as we're willing to share with the public, but if you know, you know.
I think you need to...
Gotcha.
It wasn't any of us.
Okay.
It was neither of us.
Okay.
Although there's been close calls. Yeah. not from our Yumi Broshi food, but from other other stuff like Little Caesars.
Oh man.
Pizza.
Oh man. So Rob, when did Yumi Broshi really get cooking? No pun intended.
So we were like, all right, we gotta get this started. I had already kind of turned my kitchen at home into like a little test kitchen. I got rid of one of my rooms. It was like a storage/office, and I just took everything out and I started buying racks in there and pretty much turned it into a pantry. So then we're like, all right, what do we need to start this? And for a couple of weeks, we're like building our inventory of like to-go bags and, you know, everything that you needed to do like a to-go service. But I'm a huge procrastinator. So it took Kyle like asking me every week, so when are we going to start this? So when are we going to start this? When are we going to start this to kind of get my ass in gear?
So Kyle's the one who's like...
Yeah, he's the focused one.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the engine.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then I built a website, and it kind of turned it into a kind of like a shopping cart kind of thing. You just pick what you want, you pick what time you want to pick up, and we decided Mondays would be the best day to do this.
Was it difficult to set up that website or not?
Oh, absolutely. I had no idea what the fuck I was doing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it took me a little bit of time, but
it's a great site.
Oh, thank you.
Really nice site.
Yeah. I take great pride in it right now.
As you should.
Yeah. but yeah, so we started like a, you know, pickup service for a couple months from my apartment, which was kind of cool and kind of not great when you kind of do everything out of your home and it's like, you're just always there. But...
Yeah, I hear that.
No, I was sick. It was cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's how it all began.
That's really cool. So how did it work? What people just pulled up and you came outside type of thing? Or
yeah, they so they would pick what time they're picking up. Then they would shoot us either a call or a text when they got there. And
very cool.
Bring their food out in a bag with like silverware and all that stuff.
I love that. That's so cool. I wish there was more spots like that that did that.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot that's of that fun. Stuff kind of came out of COVID. You know, a lot of chefs were doing that.
It's fun, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool. So how did you decide on what dishes you were going to do and everything like that? And then both you guys can take this if you like.
Yeah. I guess we started off with, all right, we're going to have a musubi on there. We're going to have the mochiko chicken bowl.
What's mochiko chicken? Because I actually was like blown away by that when I came by to visit you guys.
Oh, hell yeah.
What was it? The McGangbang?
Yeah, the McGangbang.
Yeah, that's not only is that a great name for a really good sandwich, but just like, I mean.
We like to take like other funny things and just, you know.
I mean, it was banging, so I mean, I get where you were going, you know.
Oh, hell yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
It's all in the name.
McGangbang. I get it.
Yeah.
But no, it was tremendous. And I remember being like, what is, like, this is chicken? Like, what is, like, it's because it's just like, it tastes like nothing I've like ever had before, so.
Yeah, it's like a Hawaiian fried chicken. It's made with like mochiko flour. It's like a sweet rice flour.
And where do you get that Hawaiian inspiration from? Is that from like working with Clark because he was in Hawaii, or is that just something that you guys like sort of developed a love for on your own? Or
definitely on our own. It was before I started working at the foundry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know Clark will every once in a while, and I know some people come to me and they're just like, oh man, you know, he's doing like these like, you know, interesting, like Hawaiian, you know, inspired things over there at the foundry. And I was like, oh, it's cool. So
yeah,
just wasn't sure, but
it just kind of like,
because you don't come across too many people know about that. Like,
yeah.
I mean, obviously you guys are, you know, have worked in this sort of, in this industry. So like, you know, I'm sure that you guys have, you know, come across it, of course, way sooner than I would, but I just remember being so late to it myself and then just being like, oh man, this is so cool. Like, cause I'm the type of person that wants to try everything.
Oh hell yeah.
I mean, I love everything. So like when I saw your menu, I was just like, oh my gosh, this rules. Cause I've never had any of this stuff. And now I get to like go and just like try like a bunch of different things. And like, and I haven't even had everything. And you guys are constantly
changing,
bringing
stuff.
Yeah. And then, you know, did that pop up with Good Old Days, which we'll get to. But I remember first hearing about you guys. I don't know if it was Stanzi, but then I remember becoming friends with Jimmy, who's actually here.
Jimmy Jam. In the house.
If you know, you know. And basically Jimmy was always sharing your guys' posts on Instagram. And I'm like, I'm like looking at it, I'm like, what? Like, how do you pronounce Yumi Broshi? I'm like, oh, okay, like what is this? And then I don't know. I think I forget who it was. You know, someone else mentioned you guys, and then eventually I think we started chatting. And then I think it wasn't too long after that that you went to Bar 140, and Andrew Dominic came and did the write up. And I'm good friends with him. And I remember he told me, he's like, yo, I'm doing a write up tonight in Shelton, this like crazy, like Hawaiian inspired, like pop up place. And I go, Yumi Broshi, and he goes, yeah, dude.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I'm like, those are the homies, dude. I love those guys. And I was just so happy he was going there and everything. So that must have been cool, like, for CT Bites to roll up and be like.
Oh, for sure, man. That was definitely like a, yeah.
How did that come about, though? Before we even get to that, how did it come about? Were you able to, where you were able to use Bar 140's kitchen to sort of transition from, you know, Danbury to Shelton?
Wait, how did we get to Bar 140?
Yeah, so like, how did that come together? Where they were like, hey, like, why don't you come over here instead of just, you know, slinging it out of your apartment?
So I've been friends with Sandy, who owns Bar 140. What's up, Sandy? Shout out!
It's a legendary spot.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty historic at this point, right? Because it's been around for a long time.
Yeah. They're very well known for like their fries and whatnot, and their sauces and shit.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, Sandy came to pick up some Uma Broshi, and she had just took over Bar 140, and she was like, "We need a chef. Do one of you guys want to go over there?" And we were both like, oh, we can't right now. You know, we're kind of locked in.
Yep.
And she was like, oh, do you guys want to do a pop-up then over there? And we're like, hell yeah.
Sweet. Hell yeah.
And she was like, yeah, we're usually closed Tuesdays, but if you guys want to come through on Tuesdays and take over the kitchen, you know, that'd be pretty sweet. And yeah, that's what we did.
That's sick.
Yeah.
That's sick. They have a cool, their kitchen's so like, it's nice. It's like a little, you know, cozy, a little tucked away. you and Kyle, you know.
Oh yeah,
always bumping each other,
bumping butts,
yeah, bumping butts,
bumping butts, bumping all uglies. Night.
Yeah, all night. Step brothers.
Yeah,
that's awesome though.
We could
that's
be awesome. Brothers.
No, Bar 140 is a great spot. So that's how you moved from Danbury to Bar 140.
Yeah,
that's very cool. That's awesome. And then were you able to? Did that enable you guys to be able to do more? Or was everything sort of the same? Because I think it wasn't out of your house. It was sort of like limited to what you could get. And then
for
expanded,
sure.
Right?
We were rocking out of we had like two tabletop fryers.
Oh, sweet.
Like,
that's awesome. Talk to me about the setup that you had.
Dude, it was nuts.
At your house while you're slinging out of Danbury.
We changed the kitchen like three different times just to like, for like efficiency and whatnot. But it was definitely hard at first, and then we kind of got the groove. But yeah, we were slinging like food out of like two tabletop fryers, my oven, which is now like the clock looks like freaking Egyptian lettering from using it now so much. And
oh my gosh, that's great.
What else did we have? We had like a little mini fridge to put stuff in. Eventually, I had to get another fridge because we just had so much food and product and.
Any good stories or memories either you guys could share from those times where you were slinging out of the house? Any like interesting, like, you know?
I mean, we definitely have stories. This feels so long ago. You know, can you think of anything?
nothing crazy specific. I tried VR for the first time. Drunk bar fight. Highly recommend. 10 out of 10.
Really?
Also,
wait, really?
Yeah,
you can do that. That's a
drunk bar fight virtual reality.
Oh, that's
really great for working out your frustrations.
That's really cool.
But I can't stress enough. If it's your first time cooking somewhere or doing a pop up, just the importance of showing up early, being fully prepared, being organized. Because we were not on our first day, and I was about to have my second panic attack ever. Luckily, I didn't, so we're still down to one panic attack ever. Also food related. So yeah, just be prepared, what, people.
If I asked you what the first panic attack was, would it make a second panic attack? No.
Being crushed by the weight of hundreds of tickets coming in all day and not having time to restock the
station.
What's
that like seeing
stuff?
The ticket, because I've never experienced that, but what's that like? I've seen that in the Bear and stuff. What's that like seeing the ticket machine just like go ape?
It really depends on your state of mind, and I'm a Gemini, so you know, supposedly we go back and forth. Like, so if I'm feeling really chill and mellow that day, it's nothing. It's like, okay, we're gonna get through this, it's fine.
Okay.
And then on some days it's just too much to handle and I need to go crawling to a hole somewhere.
Gotcha.
It can be insanely stressful. I don't know how to describe it really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what were your thoughts on heading over to Bar 140?
I was really happy about it because working, no offense to his apartment, working out of his apartment wasn't the most clutch situation in the world.
Gotcha.
And it exposed us to more customers and more people, which is what we needed to do. We had kind of hit the wall where, you know, we've been doing it at his house for a while, and I don't think we were going to get any busier than we were and get new people to try it out. So it was really good to expand outside of that.
See, that's the best when I see whether it's a, you know, a food pop-up or a company or someone starting a, you know, something new. I love it when one of their customers ends up being the person that's like, hey, why don't you do this over here? And then they take that next step. And then it's another customer. Hey, why don't you do this here? Then they take the next step and they're like, hey, another, and you get a bunch of other customers. Hey, I'll invest in this and this, this, you should do this. I'll invest, you know? And then I love that. I love how that happens. I love how I see that happen in life. Cause I've seen that so many times and it's so cool. And like, and at the end of the day, like, sometimes that's what you have to do. Like, you see some people that are like, I don't know if I should start a business. I don't know if I should do something like that and like take a chance, take a risk. But you should, because if you do it well and you get a lot of customer base, you never know who's going to really appreciate it and understand that and want you to, like, you know, bring people to their spot and do what the great, you know, nothing better when someone's like, dude, you're doing, can you bring it to my place? Like, please? Like, that's awesome. So.
Yeah,
I love that for you
absolutely.
Guys.
Absolutely. You know, Rob is more the networking guy. but luckily, the situation has worked out for us where the networking has just kind of naturally happened over food and drinks. Yeah. And
plus, you guys are really chill. And I think that goes, like, you know, I mean, I think that goes a long way. Just being open-minded and chill and, like, cool with people. And, I mean, that's big. And I feel like a lot of people just come because they're like, we just want to see you guys and chill and laugh with you. I mean, the food is tremendous, but... I mean, just seeing you guys is like such a blast. Like, you guys are cool. You have so much fun.
Big ups to my therapist. Like, that dude's putting in work for me. So
that's awesome.
Definitely been chilling out.
We all love that for you. We all love
that for you. Shout out to Kaz. Sorry.
Shout out to Kaz. Am I back on?
You're back, baby.
We're hell
back.
Yeah. Shout out to Kyle's therapist. We love you. You can eat free at Umabroshi any day.
That's awesome, man. That's hilarious. Oh, man. That's great.
I should have just thought of a story from the apartment.
Please.
So we were running one tabletop fryer in the beginning, and I remember we were getting... as always, the thing happens where, like, everybody orders at the same time. And it's like, fuck, we need to get another tabletop fryer. So I ordered one and we were cruising. What I didn't know is if, you know, plugging all these things in at once, my breaker would keep going off. So we're trying to sling food and, like, we're both freaking out and, like, we got to get this. And then all the power would go out. And then, I guess that's really it. I don't really have a good story. I can't remember anything. And the power, shit's just a blur.
So the power got, like, overloaded and then, like, you tripped something? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got you. Okay, I got you. I got you. That's cool.
I wish I could remember some stories. Unfortunately not right now.
No worries, dude.
Yeah.
No worries. That's fine. So what are some other things you have on the menu? I know we were talking menu items before. So what are some other things that you got going on that that you know you think people would find pretty sweet?
So I guess I'll name some of our staples. We have, like, a spam corn dog. We make our own spam, and that's a pretty hot item there. It's one of our favorites.
What's the process in that?
Making the spam?
If you can go through some menu items and just explain how you guys do it, that'd be sick. I'd love it.
You want me to tell you how we make our famous and secret spam, Jeff Spence?
Oh, well, no, not the process of making the spam, just like just the spam incorporated in your items. If it's super secret, I mean, I don't want you to know. I mean, I would hate that for you.
No.
And for us, you know, all of us, we'd all suffer.
I'll tell you after the pod.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got it.
And if I find out that anybody else knows it, I'll know where to go.
Gotcha.
It was you.
So corn dog, pretty simple. So you just use your...
Yeah, we cut our spam block, our bricks. We have a really cool corn dog batter, and we dip it some QP mayo. We take our kimchi that we make.
QP, yeah.
QP, God's tears. fucking love QP. brush my teeth with that if I could, which I could. I guess I won't. Though,
you should. Why not?
Yeah. But yeah, we take our kimchi that we make and we dehydrate it and turn it into a powder, and we cover that corn dog with it. Some QP, farikake, some fried garlic and shit. Is that
nice.
Funny?
Nice. Now, what's farikake?
It's like a rice and egg seasoning. It's gotcha. Like nori, sesame seeds.
Oh, cool.
There's a bunch awesome. Of different
kinds. I love how you guys explain all these words on your website. That's another cool thing that you guys did that like I actually was like, wow, that's like cool that they like went to that like yeah. level to like really break it down like what it is.
We figured it'd be best to kind
did you
of
get
explain.
A lot of people who at first were like, all right, what's, you know, yumikake or whatever we were just talking about. Sorry. Sorry.
What did you just call me?
Yumiboshi, yumikake. I guess I said yumikake. My bad. Farikake.
Furikake.
Furikake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're like, honestly, I don't think anybody was just like, what's this? What's that? They kind of just, okay. you know, jumped on board and
I love
was
it.
Like,
oh, I would. I yeah. would never ask what it is. I'd yeah. just be like, give it to me and I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out whether I like it.
It was pretty much just like a, you know, we like to be educational sometimes, and we thought it'd be really funny to do like a what the fuck am I eating page on our website. And you know, so if anybody did have any questions or want to know a little bit more, they can go check that out.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah,
yeah, I loved how you guys did that. That was sweet.
Yeah. Kyle, you want to talk about some other menu items we got?
Yeah. So, what other menu items we got, Kyle? What are some sure. things that I mean? Do you have anything? You know, I hate to ask this question because I've asked this to like you know chefs and cooks before, but like, is there a favorite thing you like to cook? They're always just like, ah, whatever. Like you know, like but it like as far as like one of your menu items, I'll ask you guys later if there's like other things you like to cook like outside of that. Usually, when every chef is like, I have a bowl of cereal. I'm like, oh, and then make me feel like a dick. No, I'm kidding. But no, so yeah, just like, you know, are there some things you like to make, you know, on your menu? Or just,
my
you know,
ultimate your... forever queen will always be the tomato sandwich in the peak of summer.
Oh, wow.
There's no better.
Me too, dude.
There's no better person.
Tomato, mayo, and just
yeah,
some
QP
nice
and some nice bread. Oh, or not nice man. Bread. Doesn't even matter. Actually, as long as the yeah. tomato's decent. Menu items. I know you brought up the McGangbang before. That was invented thanks to the use of marijuana.
I figured. I mean, I kind of put two and two together there. So.
Are you familiar with the Japanese curry?
I'd be disappointed if it wasn't.
It's like these little curry blocks. It's not like a powder, and you kind of throw it into stuff, and it makes like this thick curry stew. Situation.
Ooh, wow.
So I was stoned eating some Japanese curry cauliflower dish wow. I had made out of one of the Hawaiian cookbooks I have. I was like, damn.
Wow.
This would be so good with cheese. And so we had Umeroshi like the next day, and we were talking about switching up the burgers, and I was like, all right, what about, I got a lot of American cheese, I got milk. So I literally just took milk, the Japanese curry, and American cheese, and melted it down, and boom, the infamous sauce on the McGangbang, which is, you know, a play on the McDonald's hamburger with a McChicken on top. So we've got our fried mochiko chicken on top of a burger patty with the curry cheese sauce. So, you know, that one took like minimal effort and minimal time to come up with, but it's one of our like best sellers.
I took a bite. That was like one of the things I was most excited about besides the Spam crunch wrap, which I want to ask how that came to be, which I'm assuming was this.
Yeah, same thing. Same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah. just swap out one whatever they use, grade D beef for Spam made from scratch, and boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. That's sweet. No, but the McGangbang, I was like so excited for that because I don't know, just you know, I don't know, chicken on a burger. With some like really awesome sauce on top. I mean, just
I was like, this is so stupid. It's gonna work.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it works amazing. It works yeah. amazing. Is that gonna be like a staple? It'll like always mostly be there, like, because that would be great.
I think so. I think it'll have a happy long
because
life.
I feel like every time I go, I'll just be like, yeah, I'll get one of those, and then let's get everything else, and like that'll be like the thing. Like, yeah, I'll start with that, and then
yeah,
yeah.
So you can kind of see we really love doing plays off of fast food items or kind of stuff that everybody knows, because a lot of this Hawaiian stuff, if you do try and do authentic, a lot of people won't be familiar with. So, you know, we just put like a chicken and waffles on, and you know, I just made it a little Hawaiian-y, but everybody knows chicken and waffles, so people will buy it. Stuff like that.
So what did you do with it to make it, like, give it that vibe?
I added a sunflower miso to the maple syrup that we poured on there. I made a gravy, and I put a Chinese sausage in it, the lap chong, if you're familiar with that stuff.
Oh, man.
Just little tiny tweaks. There's sesame in the waffle batter. just little tweaks. Because Hawaiian is really a combination of Japanese,
right,
Korean, Chinese, right, Filipino food. So
wow,
as long as we're pulling from any of those cultures, I feel comfortable saying, yes, this is our white guys making Hawaiian food take on it. Yeah.
So Rob, talk to me about the desserts at Umeboshi.
So I think we started off with the hapia bars. Hapia? Yeah, it's like a coconut custard.
Nice. Oh, I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For a minute, I thought it looked like a magic bar or something. I was like, wow, I like magic bars.
Yeah, magic bars are great. I actually don't know what that is. What is a magic bar?
It might have just been what my aunt called it. She made this like coconut chocolate chip brownie thing.
Oh, fuck yeah.
She called them magic bars. I thought that's what...
What was so magical about them, Jeff?
Just the coconut and the chocolate.
Oh, hell yeah.
I just like that mixture. I like Almond Joys. I like coconut chocolate chunk ice cream from Ferris's Ice Cream.
Yeah, yeah.
My cousins own that place, so I love going there and, you know, great
place. It up.
Yeah, so anyway, not to derail, but that's yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like that. But yeah, it's like a coconut custard. It's like a three-layer bar that we did. We used coconut crackers and cookies and shit to make the base. Then we used...
That's awesome.
We had like a ube cake in the middle of it. And then
ube.
Ube.
Ube is popular, I think.
Yeah, it's...
Rebel Daughter Cookies, she came on, Ann Grossman. This, I think it was either earlier this season or last season. And she actually just did a cookie. With ube in it.
Hell yeah.
And they did like a Baywatch like lifeguard reel of them like running on the beach and stuff to advertise it. It was hilarious.
That's sick.
They're really cool. But anyway, ube. So what is that again? What's ube again? Just for those who...
It's a potato.
Just a... Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's a potato.
It's a potato. No?
You can't be any more dramatic than that.
It's a purple potato.
You gotta just kill my whole lead up.
It's a purple potato.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. It's got a little sweetness to it,
nice.
I'd say.
Nice.
So we like use that for like a little cakey filling in the middle.
Awesome.
And then like a coconut custard on top.
That's awesome.
And then topped with some coconut crack is what we call it.
What's that?
It's pretty much just like
is that top secret.
No, we could talk about it. We love talking about coconut crack. It's like just toasted. It's like shaved coconut with honey and a little oil and just baked for a little bit, and it gets crispy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Put that on some ice cream?
Yeah. You put that on anything.
Mm.
Yeah. It's really good. It tastes like what are those Girl Scout cookies? Like the best one.
Samoas?
It tastes like that.
What they're called?
Samoas?
Yeah. Something like that? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my dad's favorite.
Oh, hell yeah.
He goes to town on those.
That was also a test. I wanted to see what you guys were going to say were the best Girl Scout cookies.
I don't know. Definitely not Thin Mints because it's too minty after a while.
Yeah.
I will eat Thin Mints, especially if they're from the freezer. I feel like that's the only way to eat them. But I don't know. I mean, Samoas are good.
They're the best.
I feel like there's another one, though, that I really like. I just can't remember off the top of my head. Maybe like Tagalongs or something. I like that, like
that's that like buttery one.
Yeah. Those are kind of addicting. If you eat like a couple of them, you're like, oh my gosh.
It's like Oreos. You have one, and then next thing you know, you ate the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where I like to do Girl Scout cookies is put them in a blender and then top it on ice cream.
That's smart.
I don't know. I've done that a couple times.
That's filthy.
I'm so fat, dude. It's unbelievable. But it's okay. You know, just do what you love.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do that.
And I love that for you.
So I did. But anyway, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
So what else you got?
We started with hapia bars, and then we kind of
Did you do like a key lime pie or no, like a lime pie of any kind one time or no? Or I don't know. I can't remember.
No.
Okay. I get. All right. Never mind.
Like right now we're running Twinkie. I was like,
oh, yo. I saw that.
Yeah.
So what's that?
So it's like a yellow cake, pretty much. Dessert. Like, you know, let's make a fucking Hawaiian Twinkie.
Oh.
Right.
Oh and, my gosh, you guys, that is so awesome.
we shove a little pineapple buttercream in there. Made like a sake yuzu sobonyon. It's like a traditional like it was like an egg yolk wine kind of sweet sauce. Is that how you describe that?
Classical French.
Then we tossed it with topped it with some coconut crack as usual and some Liheng powder, which is like a pickled dried fruit. It's kind of like sour and salty and sweet. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Where did you guys come to know about all these powders? Was it like Taproot or was it just a con or it,
just from like once we started like on this Hawaiian kick, you know, we just kept learning more and more about it because you know, we didn't want to fuck up. we wanted to make sure everything we're putting out was as legit as possible and, you know, through a lot of tests and trials and stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So things are good now. So how are things right now? Just Tuesdays rocking and rolling. I know you guys did a farm event just recently.
Yeah. This past Saturday, we did our very first farm dinner with Open Farmhouse. That was really cool. They're actually some of the...
Did you serve up McGangbangs?
Yeah. Everyone's personal McGangbang.
Yeah.
No, we actually decided to do something a little different for this. We're like, you know, if you want to get some umeboshi food, like definitely head over to Bar 140. But we kind of want to show
what
our
we
own
got.
Personal side, I guess, what we're interested in. And, you know, I grew up in a Lebanese household, so I ate a lot of Lebanese food.
Oh, okay.
Hummus,
you're Lebanese?
I'm adopted from Brazil, so I'm Brazilian and Lebanese.
Okay, gotcha. Very interesting. Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. My girlfriend's Lebanese, so I was...
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
She make you hummus and tabbouleh and all that stuff?
Her mom makes all that stuff. It's tremendous.
That's so
Yeah, cool. Her mom makes kibbeh.
Oh, dude.
Got the baba ganoush.
Mm-hmm.
And she does like a, for Thanksgiving, she does like a stuffing with kibbeh in the turkey, and it's wild.
Dude, I love that.
And her dad's Italian. So when you go to her dad's house, he makes all this crazy Italian food, just like the whole table is just filled with food. There's only four of us. He made a meal for at least like 12 people. And that's old school Italian at heart right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the way. And I love it because I'm just like, oh, a little bit of this.
Absolutely, dude. Yeah, that's the Lebanese way as well.
They both cook unbelievably. So yeah. I've been, as you can see. So it's interesting you say that, but
yeah.
But cool, man.
Yeah, it was cool. And then Kyle is definitely into like African food. And Kyle, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, that's sweet. What does African food entail?
Well,
where can you get some around here?
Not many places. In Connecticut, there's a Ethiopian place in New Haven, Lalibela or something like that.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly how or when, but I started getting really fascinated by Ethiopian food. It's just so different from anything you're seeing.
They don't have any in Danbury?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Huh.
It's really, really healthy and also really crushable. So I got super into that. And that's on the Horn of Africa, the eastern side, touching the Indian Ocean. And then I also got into some West African cuisine on the other side of the continent, Nigerian, Senegal,
wow.
Which is a fascinating place because
yeah.
It's the westernmost country in Africa, and it's been colonized by the French, the Portuguese. There's Vietnamese influence there
because of
the French.
So there's just this like...
It's this hodgepodge
mixture of
crazy
this.
Cultures
wow.
And just super deep umami flavors. And I'm starting to see it catch on more and more a little bit, like people becoming aware yeah. Of West African food, especially. Okay. But around here, you know, you don't see it. So I just started researching it and getting into it and like, oh, wow. This stuff is as good as any Japanese or French or Italian. It's just not getting the shine out here. So I got super into it.
That's cool.
So did some of that stuff for the farm dinner.
That's cool.
Really cool.
Wow. That's awesome. What were some of the dishes of the farm dinner that you guys did?
And is
this something that you would do if someone asked you or paid you guys? Like, is this something you want to let people know that you would do if they were offered it? Or is this something that you just did like a one-time thing?
We're absolutely open to doing more stuff like this in the future.
Cool. Okay.
And growing and expanding.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, cool. So what were some of the things you guys did?
So my favorite things that I made a Nigerian dish. It's called suya, S-U-Y-A. It's a type of skewer that they do over live coals, live wood. And it's basically like usually it's lamb skewer that you dip into this powder that's made of a bunch of different crazy peppercorns and spices and peanuts and dried crayfish. And it just has so much umami. And so we did it with lamb skewers that we marinated in shio koji, which is marinade. We use a lot of umeboshi to make our chicken dishes. So flavorful.
Love lamb.
And then while the lamb was grilling, we brushed it with iru, which is this fermented locust bean paste. And I basically would call it a West African miso, that fermented locust bean paste. And then the people there were dipping it into the powder, and that was my favorite thing I made there. And I'll let Rob.
That's sweet. That's awesome.
I don't know if I have a favorite thing that I made, but it was just, I grew up eating a lot of Lebanese food, but I hated it as a kid. You know, I wanted to eat like cheesecake and pizza and watch cartoons and shit. And growing up, it's like I go to my mom's house and I just load up on it. So I kind of just want to bring a lot of things that I would eat growing up, and, you know, like hummus and a lot of lamb. I don't know. I didn't have like a favorite thing, but it was all,
that's awesome.
It's all up my alley.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So with umeboshi, I'll ask this to both of you guys. What do you really want to see it become? What are like the end goals? Like, what are some goals? Is it just, hey, let's just keep rocking right now. We're having fun. Let's just keep doing this thing. Or are there some like aspirations that you really want to achieve?
Like right now we're like talking about getting like a food truck or a food trailer. That would be really sweet. We want to go mobile.
Fuck. Yeah.
That's like, I guess that's really like our next step.
Sweet.
You know, and just hit
that's
up.
That's going to be great.
Oh yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You'll have to update the website so it's got like a map where you can see the truck like moving on it, so I know where to go.
Yeah, but we'll have it going all the time.
Real time.
So you always know where we are.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You should be the first. I don't think anyone does that.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna live stream just everything we do.
Yeah. Or I will, because I'll be there.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
That's cool though, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So is that kind of it, or are you thinking like
brick and mortar?
Like maybe you know, a little further down the road, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Cool. Like our own little spot.
Cool.
Kind of like a cool, I mean, the way I envision it is like a cool little bar scene with like, I don't know, just like live music and just really chill. I don't know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, what, you know, what's better than that?
Nothing. Nothing is better.
So are there any, what's it like doing the pop-up and also having full-time on the side? Is it that difficult to mix both? Or do you find it to be okay? Because like you've sort of been in this space, so you know how to like, you know, adapt and everything. But have there been some like difficulties doing one thing full time and then doing this, you know, as a pop up part time?
Absolutely, yes. Okay. It's definitely it depends on the week and what's going on in our own lives and stuff like that. But it could definitely be stressful managing both things, because you know, with anything, when you're spending a lot of time doing one thing, you know, you kind of fall short with other things. So it's like all about balance. But you know, we've been able to do it through everything. So it's definitely stressful, but you know, gotta do it.
It's really stressful. It's really hard. doing a full-time job, and then, you know, Monday preparing for the pop-up, Tuesday doing the pop-up. But it's all with the end goal to expand and grow, and I would love for, you know, the next goal, like he said, is to do a food truck and then hopefully grow from there. And I would love one day for it to end up to be this thing that's bigger than the both of us, and we can kind of just step back a bit and enjoy what we created and be able to, you know, live off of it, because I don't want to be a line cook forever. As much as I love cooking, I've worked with the older gentleman who, you know, is still on the line every night, and I don't want to be that guy someday. So
understood.
I would love to watch this turn into something, you know, something great. But yeah, it takes a lot. I don't recommend this kind of lifestyle for the meek of heart or people who don't want to work hard. It's a lot of work.
A lot of hours.
Yeah.
A lot of hours. Yeah. What's a typical day like on that Tuesday hour wise for you guys? Like, what time are you up? Like, what time are you like? Well, maybe not time. What time are you up? Maybe you don't have to like necessarily like get up at the crack of dawn, but like, what's like a typical day like, you know, with everything that you got to do?
Usually I'm up around.
You have to bring your own supplies, right? Or do they get dropped off?
Correct.
There?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, like your own like everything you're using that night you have to bring?
We have a dry storage space there, okay. And we keep some of our equipment there.
Cool.
But yeah, all our produce and food we have to bring in.
Oh, okay. Okay. So yeah, I'm sure that's a lot.
So yeah, usually get up 7:30 or 8, finish prep that didn't happen the day before, take my dog on a walk, take a 20 or 30 minute break from everything.
What kind of dog you got?
He's a half poodle, half sheepdog.
Oh, cool.
He's a little short king. He looks just like a sheepdog, but he's like really tiny.
That's cute.
Happy Doodle Harry on Instagram if you want to go check him out.
Happy Doodle Harry. Really?
That's follow awesome. And subscribe.
He's got an Insta.
Yeah, he's constantly.
I'm so glad I asked about him. See, this is why I love podcasts. You ask a question, next thing you know, dog's got an Instagram. This is awesome.
Okay, yeah,
happy
check him
Doodle
out.
Harry.
He's taking over the scene.
Okay, cool.
He was just nominated the mayor of the Naugatuck Dog Park. He's doing good.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Shout out to Naugatuck.
He just learned how to swim, so that's cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Did you take him swimming? Yeah, he like...
Oh, you know, I don't go there with him swimming in mind, but he ends up swimming, you know, on almost every walk we go on.
That's awesome. So. That's cool.
But yeah, it's a long day. Yeah. Get up around 7:30 or 8, prep, get all our stuff there, set up.
What time do you usually get there, Bar 140?
As the mic comes to me. Well, it all depends, you know. You know, we try for like 2-3. Well, in the beginning, we were actually getting there pretty early just to like get a feel for everything and not do what we were doing at my apartment and be set up and ready and organized and ahead of the game. But yeah, now we get there probably like 3:00, you know, set up, do some like last minute slicing and dicing and, you know, cut up the menus. Let's say I'm like the social networking, like social media guy, apart from like the memes and stuff. Kyle's a big memer. And shout out to Jimmy. He's one of our meme lords.
I actually love Kyle's memes.
Yeah. The very
great. Kyle's a great follow on the gram.
He's great. I wish I can do like, I want to do like a timeline of like how he started doing memes to where he is now. He's like really improved. I just want to say I'm really proud of you about that.
He's come a long way. I love this. See, this is why you guys have been thriving, because you know you compliment each other really well. Not only with compliments, but just your abilities and what you guys bring to the table.
Realistically,
no pun intended. Yeah. I don't know why I keep doing those puns. Oh my
god, we love puns.
What's cooking and what are you bringing to the table? Talking to chefs, like I don't know why I always do that when I talk to chefs, but
I think we're complimenting each other right now because we usually spend a lot of time just making fun of each other.
I think you have to, though.
Yeah.
I think you have to. Like, that's the only way. Like, you'd only know I liked you if I made fun of you.
Absolutely.
Like, the more I make fun of you, the more I like you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's how it goes.
I've told people that so many times, and I feel like definitely in my life there's been a few people who I turned off just because, you know, I made some jokes and, you know,
they weren't about
cracking at them, and then they were like, oh, you know, not feeling this guy. And then you don't get a call back.
No, that's, hey, that happens. We're all about that. We're you know, very serious about a lot of things, but yeah, we're not serious about also a lot of things. You know, we like to have fun. We like to be ourselves, which you'll see in our like social media presence. Like, you know, we like to do goofy shit, and we're not sorry for it.
So where can people find you on the socials? Just Instagram?
Instagram is the best bet. We have a Facebook, but it's just go to Instagram.
And you have a great website, umibroshi.com.
Yeah. Umibroshi.com. Yeah, you can check us out there. If you're at Bar 140 and we're there, you can order from there. But yeah, that's the best place too.
So we touched on it briefly before, but how was the experience of Andrew Dominic coming by from CT Bites? Was that cool for you guys? Or you're like, oh, this is pretty neat because like people are noticing what we're doing kind of quick?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it was. It just kind of happened out of the blue, and we were definitely stoked because it was really quick. And, you know, it's nice to know that, you know, we're kind of putting a dent in the, I don't know what you call it, the industry, I guess, or in the...
Yeah, who else is doing this?
What do you mean?
Like, are there many people that are doing the style you're doing and like, you know, kind of what you're pumping out? Because I don't think you see it too much.
You don't? I know the only thing I've really seen, I guess, is like Tavern on State will do like a pop-up. It's like a tiki pop-up.
Well, I mean like a Hawaiian, you know, street food. I feel like you don't see that too much.
No.
They're like, you know, that style food.
Yeah. No, you don't really
pop-ups,
see it.
Yeah, pop-ups are huge.
Yeah, yeah.
But just like the Hawaiian style food. And then what he's touched on before with the African, is there a reason why you guys don't, do you think you guys will ever pivot to doing something other than like pivot to the, what you were talking about, like the African style, or do you think you'll just keep it kind of where, you know, and the Hawaiian,
I don't know. It's not really something we talked about, but like the farm dinner was the first thing where we're like,
that's cool.
Let's do something different.
So maybe in the future, maybe you'll mash like both. Like maybe there'll be like an area for one and an area for another.
Oh,
that'd
sure.
be sick. That'd be sick.
Yeah.
You guys are gonna have the hottest spot. Like, oh my gosh. Like, woof. That'd be unbelievable.
An Umibroshi spot.
Having
for whatever
two
you're
different
feeling.
Style foods that you really don't see much at one spot that's done exceptionally well. Like
yeah.
That'd blow my mind.
That'd be awesome.
I think the universe would explode.
It would.
Connecticut would explode. Oh, man. And then you guys did a little collab with Good Old Days.
Oh, hell yeah.
So what was that pizza? I was sad I couldn't make it, but what did you do with Mr. Stanziak?
So we decided to do like one of our hot selling items, the Mochiko Chicken Bowl. So we're like, fuck yeah, let's turn that into a pizza. And yeah, we did like the Mochiko Dark Slide.
Of course, the Dark Slide, the trick made famous by Rodney Mullen.
Yes. I wasn't about to say Mr. Hawk, but because that's not who made that up.
No. Rodney Mullen, baby.
Of course.
Rodney Mullen's the best. He's my favorite skater of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember watching his YouTube videos for hours growing up as a kid. Never skateboarded because I just, like, I played like baseball, basketball, like hockey, stuff like that. And I wanted to skateboard and I tried to a couple times and it just like, it wasn't working out. I wasn't really as like balanced as I thought I could. Like I thought I could just do it, you know, because I was athletic.
Yeah.
But that's not how it works in skateboarding.
No, it's tough.
It's hard. And what a shock. And so I always really respected it. I've actually said I had a professional athlete on the show who is a professional skateboarder who's trying to become professional scooter rider who's trying to become a professional skateboarder and trying to get signed by Red Bull.
Yeah.
And young, like 18, and he's already like a pro rider. And I was telling him and his buddy who owns a skateboard company in Newtown called Swimming Co. I was saying how, like, you know, I really respect skateboarders and I watch them like all the time. Like absolutely love it.
Oh hell yeah.
I
saw that kid when you did that podcast. He's sick.
Yeah? Oh, okay, cool.
That was one of my favorite episodes of yours. Love that kid.
Oh, the one with Ryan O'Rell?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Really sick.
Do you know him? Or
I don't. I just watched all of his videos, though, and I was like, I fucking love you.
He's pretty nice with it.
So he started Swimming Co? Yeah.
No, Swimming Co was started by my buddy Rich Beck. He was the other guy who was on the show. And I've known Rich Beck for like many, many years. And Rich Beck's the one who was like, yo, you got to come to the skate park one day. There's this kid over here who's just, he's unbelievable. Like the shit he's doing is just, he's like, get over here. So I'm like, okay. So like one day he's like, he's down here. And I went down and I hung out at the skate park for, I think, a couple hours. And watching this kid do backflips on a BMX bike, do backflips on a skateboard outside, you know, out of the bowl, grinding every rail, like the full rail, you know, kick flip into a grind to out to a kick flip and land, you know, and like, and then he got his scooter out and now he's doing backflips off the small little quarter half pipe with the, and I'm like, I'm like, he's like blowing my mind. And I'm just like, I got to get this kid on the show. And then that's when Rich was like, oh dude, he's a pro scooter rider with the number one scooter company in the country. And I'm like, okay. And yeah, it was a great conversation. And his goals, what he wants to do in his life. And have you seen his YouTube channel?
Yep.
His vlogs or whatever, they're awesome. He does all this crazy
day
stuff.
Day 37 of trying to get sponsored by Red Bull.
Yeah. Dude, he does it the right way, dude. He does it the old school way. I feel like that was something people used to do way back in the day. And you don't see it
sponsor
that much
me
anymore.
Tape
yeah, like stuff. Like just keep hitting them up every single. Like I'm gonna post every day a clip of me doing something nasty until they send me like a hat or like sponsor me or something. Like that's awesome. Like that's like the old school way. And I think those companies, they see it. Like they even comment. I think Rockstar Energy one time like commented because he wanted a helmet from them, and he commented and they were in the comment. He's like, "We see you. Like we see you doing your thing. Like keep doing your thing." And like that's sick, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but I'm glad people. That's one of our top episodes for sure. So
yeah,
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thanks
I see
for
the
that.
Younger kids at the New Milford skate park wearing the Swimming Co stuff, and I always kind of wondered like, what is that? I know it's associated with skateboarding somehow, but I never.
Yeah, so it's taken off. Yeah, so Rich Beck, he started Swimming Co. He's got a couple of people who ride under Swimming Co. Like they all have Swimming Co. skateboards and T-shirts and all that stuff. And he sells merch. They have an Instagram, which is really sick. He shows all the boards that he does and everything like that. And really, really cool. And I think the coolest part about it, one of the reasons why I had him on the show, is because what he's doing with the younger generation. Like he's teaching them. He's a skateboard teacher. Like he's teaching these young kids to like, you know, let's not get into trouble. Let's skate, have a good time, you know, go, you know, let's be responsible. Like he's instilling really good things into our youth. And I think we should be like super, you know, thankful to that. Like he's doing some great work. And the Swimming Co makes all these kids feel like I'm riding with this, you know, and it's really becoming something like almost, you know about it. A lot of people know about it. The merch is everywhere. So yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, I know of them. Like, I have a swimming beanie.
I have so much of their merch in my closet. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. I was wearing it earlier, but, like, it was given to me, so I didn't know what it was from exactly. I was like, fuck yeah, sick beanie. I'll take it.
Yeah.
And so everywhere I went, someone would be like, oh, is that a Mac Miller hat? And I'm like, I have no idea. And then for weeks that went on, and then I went to Zoomies. And there was like a bunch of kids like checking out skateboards, and they're like, "Yo, swimming is like you know them?" And I'm like, "No idea. Like, what is it?" Like, "Oh, it's a skateboarding brand or whatever." And I'm like, "Thank you."
Yeah,
could put an end to that story,
dude. He's got some rippers. Yeah. Like, if you go to their page, he's got some kids who can rip. Like, they're just so good.
Oh yeah.
And one of them, his name is Hator. I know Hator. Hator. I feel like 100% he's going to get signed if he keeps doing what he's doing. That kid is unbelievable.
I remember being down at the New Milford skate park early into the pandemic.
He lives in New Milford.
He lives right down the road. Him and his brother would skate down there.
Yeah, I want to chat with him, I think, sometime.
They're
think
part of the really younger crowd I never really like talked to too much.
Yeah.
But I would watch them skate and stuff. And when he first started coming down there, he was like, you know, okay, whatever. And in a matter of like 2-3 years, he's just progressed.
He's ridiculous.
Crazy rate to the point where he is thousands times better than me and any of my friends ever were when we were his age. He is insane. Definitely, what's his last name? Hator Marquis or something
like
that?
Yes, I think so.
Definitely, like that, if you're into skateboarding, look that dude up on Instagram. Yeah. He's killing it.
So he rides for swimming. So do these two girls, Brooke Dugan and Talia Shire, and they both rip too, and it's like, it's so cool, and they do some really cool, and Ryan O'Rell, of course, is with them, and just really cool, it's a cool group, and it's just, you know, and he's gathering these really, you know, great young talent, and it's just exciting, and it's cool, like, it's happening in this area, and it's just really awesome. Do you skate? I know there's a kid from Newtown who it is signed right now, and he's young. I can't think of his name, which I hate. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but I know there is actually a kid from Newtown who's like...
Julian Lewis, you're probably thinking of. Absolute shredder.
From Newtown and literally assigned to escape, like one of the big ones, right? Like,
I know he was on Foundation. Like, he might be on Birdhouse now.
Yeah, like that's... Yeah, yeah, that's
America's Shoes, I think.
Yeah, that's...
He's really sick. Yeah, I used to be so in that world. I don't know if you ever heard of Beezy. My best friend started that company.
Oh, really?
Back in the 10, 12 years ago.
No way,
a long
really?
Time ago. Yeah, yeah. Of Justin Gotthard and Zach Socher.
Beezy's legend, yeah.
Yeah, shout out to those guys. Wow. So I used to be in that world, and then cooking took over, but I still kind of know a little bit what's going on.
Did you ever skate or?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Not so much anymore. Hurts a lot. Yeah. I can't do much no more. But yeah, the new Naugatuck skate park is pretty sick. So
is it?
Oh, every once in a while I'll roll around there.
Yeah, they just build it. Cool. I love talking to any chance I can get to talk about skateboarding. I love it. I love watching all of it. It's great. Absolutely great. Oh, man. This has been awesome, guys. This has been really, really fantastic.
Pizza, pizza.
What else do you want to talk about with Yumi Broshi? Do you want to, anything you want to shout out that's coming up? You know, anything you want to let the people know that maybe we didn't cover, or what do you think?
I think Rob covered this, but yeah, Spam Made from Scratch. It hits different. Don't be afraid. It does not smell like cat food. Like it's actually very, very good.
That's cool. when I heard it wasn't actually like spam, you know, out of a can, I was like, oh, that's sick. And then, you know, you can tell when you eat it because it's, you know, it's next level. But I was like, damn, like, how do they make that? I mean, don't say anything. But that's awesome. That's awesome. I love it.
Tell him.
I can't tell you. No, I mean, it's pretty much like making a pork terrine, honestly. Cool. You know, some pork shoulder in there, some smoked bacon, you know, a little of this and a little of that, and some TV magic, and
cool.
We got spam bricks.
That's awesome, dude.
Bricks on bricks on bricks.
I love it. That's so cool. That's tremendous, man. And so, obviously, did you come up with the logo? Who was the logo?
So when we were trying to figure out a logo, a buddy of mine moved out to San Diego, and
it's a sick logo.
Oh, dude, I love it. Kyle hates it, but I
it represents you guys perfectly.
I think so. He used to hate it. Now he loves it.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, my buddy Matt, shout out Matt Krugs. He moved out to San Diego. He got into, like, he was a beer rep for McKellar out there.
I love McKellar.
Yeah. R.I.P. McKellar.
They used to have a spot. Yeah, what happened? They used to have a spot. They used to have a spot inside Citi Field.
Yeah.
And it was sick.
Dude, it's good.
And I love their beers.
Yeah.
But, like, they left, and then I heard some other places were closing. And
yeah. Big, big, big things were happening over there, apparently. Allegedly.
Okay, yeah, gotcha, yeah. Gotcha.
But
say no more.
Yeah. But yeah, he was out there. He worked with, like, this other, like, pop-up restaurant over there. And I loved their like graphic design. I'm like, and he's like, yo, are you looking for a logo? I know the guy who does their graphic design stuff. It's called Pizza Kaiju over in San Diego. Really cool spot.
Sweet name.
Yeah, I love it. So then I just like reached out.
Is that
out.
A pizza spot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if that was pizza or if you were trying to say like pizza or wasn't sure if I got that.
No, it's a pizza spot. Pizza. That's cool. Kaiju. Yeah.
Are they known? What are they known for? Like,
I mean, I'm not.
Have
I'm
you
not
been sure. there?
No, oh, okay. I haven't been to San Diego in a while.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so I hit up the graphic designer and I'm like, hey, do you think, I could pay you for some mock-ups. You want to like create our logo? And he was like, just sense like what you're looking for. So I drew up a couple things and kind of just put it all together. And our logo is what he came up with. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Super sick. Shout out to him. I don't remember his name, but shout out to him wherever he is.
Hey, you, wherever you are. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shout out to you.
Yeah.
That's awesome. No, it's great, man. Yeah. Do you guys have merch? I don't know. I forget.
That's also like the next thing we're working on. Okay.
Because that on a t-shirt. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What? I rock that all the time.
Yeah. We want to do some shirts.
I would never wash it. I would just rock it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like The Simpsons.
You can't. Actually, it's a type of shirt that you just can't take off.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, so our first merch that we really want to do is like a turtleneck crop top, but with zippers on the sleeves. So if it is too hot, you could take off the sleeves, you know, for comfort. We're big with comfort and high fashion.
That would be something else. Let me tell you.
Crop top turtlenecks. Wow. It's the next big thing.
With the zipper sleeve.
You heard it here first.
With a zipper sleeve.
With zipper sleeves.
Wow.
Yeah. Remember like back in the day, I don't know if they still do it, but you have the pants that you can unzip and turn into shorts.
I used to have those.
Yeah, same.
I had multiple pairs.
Yeah.
I used to wear them. I used to think I was cool wearing them to school. And then when gym would start, I'd be like, look out, everybody.
Yeah.
Rip the babies open.
Right.
Well, throw them to the side and just be like, yeah, that's right.
No.
Big see, Jeff's in town.
Jeff, that's not how it happened because that shit was so annoying to take off. You'd be sitting there trying to unzip it. They'd be like, what's that kid doing?
Well, no, I made that cooler than it is. That's for sure.
I'm sure you did. I didn't.
Yeah.
I'm projecting. I had a lot of trouble.
You zipped, and everyone was like, wow, look at that weirdo.
What the hell?
Look at that kid.
What the hell is that kid doing?
Yeah, but no, I hear you. Yeah. So,
cool. I would give up after like one sleeve, so I'd be wearing like half pants, half shorts.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So merch is in the...
Merch is in the works.
It's on the horizon.
Yeah.
It's on the horizon. What would you guys prefer, a truck or a trailer?
Normal shirts.
What would you guys prefer, a truck or a trailer? Let's play a game. Truck or trailer?
Truck or trailer? So we were looking at food trucks. A lot of them are just like really old. We kind of just want to like start from scratch, something new that we know we're not going to have problems with like down the road. So I think getting a new trailer would be best. And I would just like trade my car in, my Jeep in for like a truck or something and haul that baby around. But yeah, either or. I mean, whatever. Honestly, whatever comes first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So if someone has one of those things lying around.
If you got a food truck lying around.
Yeah.
Hit up the Yumi Broshi boys.
Oh, yeah. The Broshi boys. We're looking.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool, guys. Well, listen, one question I'd like to ask. I think we should wrap up here. And this is good. Would love to chat with you guys again more once things evolve down the road.
Hell yeah.
Just love to have people back on when things have like changed and stuff. I'm looking forward to having some other guests on pretty soon, you know, again, to just chat with them and get to see what they've been up to. Because a couple people I've had on lately have had their evolution already, which is what you guys will too, which is like what I'm trying to say. How it's so cool to have folks on such as you guys where... You just got going a couple of years ago and now you're in that phase where you're just, you know, you're beginning to just get to that next step and evolve and take off to, you know, what you want to do next. And I love it. And I see it all the time and I know you guys are going to do it and it's going to be great. And I can't wait to like celebrate when that happens. And
appreciate that, man.
Because, you know, you're always going to have the support of me and
this guy Jimmy over here, and
Jim,
you know, just all of us who love you guys. So I mean, we'll be there every step of the way. So you know,
we'll just know that we love all of you too.
Yeah, you'll be good to go.
Yeah,
you guys, because you guys are great guys. You're really cool dudes, and I'm really excited that we got to do this, because we've been meaning to do this.
We've been talking about it for a while,
but I think it's good we waited.
Yeah,
because you know, because like I said, you're getting to that point where you're getting ready to take your next step. So it's exciting, and now folks who have no idea, you know, maybe didn't know like what was up, you know, and now they can hear, they can come and support, and also help you get to that next step. And
yeah,
and that's it, man. Peace, love, and happiness, right?
Peace, love, and PBR.
Sweet Enough Podcast. That's what we're all about, positivity. At least we try. So anyway, one question I like to ask my guests before they leave me, and it's a question I've asked all seasons we've had now. And that is the pizza question. So obviously Connecticut, we're really known for our pizza. Some of the best in the country. Frank Pepe's, of course, always their pizza is like always one of the best. And there's always that debate, though, in New Haven, you know, who has the best out of all the heavy hitters and everything like that. So when you like to go to New Haven, you know, whenever you get a chance, I actually don't get out to New Haven as much as I would like to, as much as I used to. But when you're out there, you know, what's your favorite spot to get pizza, if that's what you're thinking that night? What are some local pizza spots that you like? And then, you know, this is the three-part question. And then what are some, like, restaurants that you like to go to other than the ones maybe you work at and things like that? So,
I haven't really gone to New Haven too much lately, but I did love going to Bar and getting their potato pizza.
It's pretty... It's pretty legendary.
It slams.
Pretty much a staple there.
Oh yeah, it's really good.
I like Bar Two a lot. Yeah. I go there a lot. I like it.
I haven't really tried any of the other pizza places. I know there's a lot of them, and everyone raves about them. But
Sally's is great. I will say,
yeah,
it's worth the high. Like the original, it's. I don't know about the one they opened in Stanford. I haven't been. People say it's good, but I would say if you want to go for the first time, like definitely hit the original.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Modern's good too, but Sally's is, I liked a little bit better.
Modern Pizza. Wait, is that the place that does like the chili oil? Or am I thinking of something different?
No, you're thinking of Colony.
Colony.
Colony's really good too. I really like Colony. It's up there, one of my top three like pizzas.
Yeah.
You can crush that, and it's thin. I like thin pizza. Like,
oh, same.
Obsessed with thin pizza. So.
It's crispy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So cool. Okay. So you like Bar.
Yeah.
What pizza? Do you like a pizza spot around here?
So for good pizza, I like to go to Good Old Days, obviously.
Yeah. That's where we met.
Yeah.
And Good Old Days comes up in every single podcast
I do.
They get crazy free advertisement from me. But
as they should.
Yeah, as they should. But yeah, okay. So Good Old Days.
Good Old Days. And then when I'm feeling real filthy and regrettable, I'll get Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut?
Yeah.
No Little Caesars?
I'm not the Little Caesars guy. Kyle's that guy.
So what what are some restaurants that you like to go to, maybe non-pizza related, and ones that you don't work at that you could like recommend to folks?
Definitely Taproot. I checked out Jeff's and Steph's new spot in Norwalk. Awesome all around. Really just cool location. The inside's fucking sick as hell.
Yeah, it looks sick.
I don't know. I can't think of... If I had to choose somewhere, it'd be Taproot. Definitely check that out.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right, awesome. All right, Kyle.
Pizza.
So what's your favorite New Haven?
Yeah, man. I also am like seriously lacking in New Haven pizza experience.
Okay.
I'm sorry to say.
Would you be up to do it one time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
We should go sometime.
Yeah.
You, me, Jimmy, and Rob.
Yeah, dude.
Just,
I'm sure they got a few Little Caesars.
Get like a pie from each place.
Yeah.
And just, I'm sure they got a Little Caesar. Little Caesars New Haven. We should do a live stream from there.
No, I know I've had pizza there. I just can't remember where or when.
Gotcha.
It's been a while.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So what are some pizza places you like around here? So obviously you said Little Caesars. I've never had Little Caesars. What's your favorite thing to get there?
Pizza. No, I'm just kidding. I just love saying pizza.
Like the guy in the commercial.
I really love Good Old Days. Obviously everyone does for a reason. It's great. Swift way out in Kent, CT.
Oh, Swift. Yeah.
Wood fired pizza.
Swift is so good.
30-something-year-old sourdough. that mozzarella made from scratch in house. That pizza's banging.
Would you ever make pizza, like open a pizza place, or is that
I'm
not your thing?
So bad at making pizza.
That's not your thing.
They put me on pizza station at Swift like the first 2 weeks I worked there.
You worked at Swift?
Yeah, back, oh, man, I wish back I in the back in the good old days.
I wish I would have dove more into that with you because that's a great place.
They put me on pizza station for like 2 weeks and then they took me off because I was like so bad at it. They just stuck me on the line, which is where I belong anyways.
Okay.
So it worked out.
Okay.
But their pizza was phenomenal. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I hear really good things. I haven't been personally, but I a couple guests actually said that was one of their favorite places.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Gotcha. Very cool, man. And yep. then what are some restaurants you really dig? Like some go-tos?
I'm like 30 minutes from New Haven. I love going out to New Haven. There's so many good spots there. Shere Khan for Indian street food.
Mm.
Olea for some classy Spanish food.
Oh, Olea is so
good. Hachiroku for some of the dopest, best Japanese food ever. Yuta, the chef there, is like one of the nicest, sweetest guys ever. And just so talented and humble.
You think he's got a good story?
Absolutely. I don't know what it is, but yeah.
I'd love to chat with him.
That guy. Mm. Yeah, so...
That kiss
probably
was
those
for you.
Places. Yeah. That would be my Rex.
Very cool.
Oyster Club. Very good.
Oh, Oyster
very,
Club.
Very
is,
good. Yeah.
Oyster Club is so good.
Yep.
Renee DuPont's?
Yep.
Yeah. She's quite good. And
absolutely.
One chef of the year.
Yeah.
In the state of Connecticut. And really cool that back to back years of the Connecticut Restaurant Association, it was a female chef who won. Last year was Emily Mangrone, friend of the podcast. And then DuPont, so very cool.
The Grano boys, Sam Driscoll and Ryan.
Nice.
I know they just left there. I think they're going to work for Emily of Tavern on State.
Oh, so good.
So
good.
Look out for if that's what they're doing or whatever they're doing, look out for them.
Yeah.
Super talented guys.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my rec.
And Emily has Fairhaven Oyster
yes.
Co.
Yep.
And that was
still gotta go try that.
That was great. Went there couple nights before they open, you know, before they test out everything, and wow, so good.
Yeah.
And it was so good to see her. She's the funniest. She's so cool and chill and just down to earth. Like she's one of my favorite people. She's great. So great vibes and everything like that.
Absolutely.
You know, one other question I said I was going to ask you guys, I didn't. So I'll sneak it in here real quick before we wrap up is after you've worked all day on your shift, like what do you eat afterwards? Like, do you have a favorite thing to eat afterwards or it's just like whatever, you don't care?
Man,
like
it's been so depressing.
Yeah. Okay. Never mind.
It's like, I'll see like a block of cheese and take like a bite of it or something. Like it's not the kind of stuff you see in movies unless it's a really sad movie.
Gotcha.
For me at least.
Gotcha. Oh, and what do you think about the bear? Accurate? What do you like and dislike?
So yeah, it's pretty accurate. It stresses me out watching it.
That's what I've heard from a lot of chefs.
Yeah, the episode people. In the first season where he's freaking out, like it literally gave me PTSD. And then the newer season, the Christmas episode where the mom is like struggling, having a hard time, that stressed me out. But that's the hallmark of a great show is it makes you feel things. So.
It made me feel things as someone who, you know, especially that, spoiler alert, especially that episode where the whole family was together and he threw the spoon at and the mom crashed the
car
through the house.
That episode was...
That brought me back to like, you know, not that my family did, you know, we weren't that wild, but like, you know, arguments and stuff at like, you know, how, you know, family get-togethers and stuff like that gave me PTSD.
Yeah, that was tough to get through
that
episode.
My mom drove the car through the house and we threw spoons at each other, but you know what I mean? Like just getting into disagreements or whatever the case may be. You know, typical family bullshit, but yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate, and I find a little bit of it cheesy, but it's very on point for the most part, and I do enjoy watching it a lot.
Awesome, that's great. All right, Rob, same two questions. I snuck a two-parter into a one. So what do you like to eat when, you know, at the end of your shift? Is there like something you go to or is it just like, you know, depressing?
pretty much the same.
Yeah.
I don't know. Usually after my shift, I'm like just not even thinking about food when I get home. I'll snack on whatever. I pretty much take like five random things from my fridge and turn it into something. like some kind of sandwich or cereal. Cereal's the best at night. That's about it.
Do you feel like you ever get turned off by food because of how much you're around it, or not really?
No.
Okay.
No.
Got you.
Food's great always.
And what do you think about the bear? I'm pretty sure I remember you telling me you liked it.
Oh yeah, I love the bear.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was definitely it's kind of what TV needed as far as like the industry, you know, depicting what actually goes on in the industry and, you know, kind of educating, I guess, in a way, like the real backstory of everything that goes on and, you know, all the effort and time and sweat and blood that goes into like being in the industry and working at a restaurant and starting a restaurant. And, you know, it shows you kind of how crazy we can be sometimes, but, you know, it's all just caring a lot about what we're doing.
Heard chef.
Yeah. Heard chef. Here. Thank you, chef.
Yeah, chef.
We love you, chef.
Yeah, chef.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that so much lately. And then I was like, what is that from? And that's how I found out about the bear.
Yeah.
And loved it. Absolutely loved it. But and they must be happy that they did it right, you know, because you always want to be accepted by those, you know, who you're trying to betray, like the industry. Like, you know, you want to do it right. So
yeah,
when I saw that, when I saw what the basis of it was, I thought, wow, they better get that right. Because if they don't, like, the restaurant industry is one of the biggest industries like in the country. There's so many people work in restaurants, so they're just going to flood like everything and just be like, this is trash. Like, it would tank if it wasn't good. So like, good for them for nailing it. Like,
oh yeah.
Cause they would have been hit hard if they didn't, you know what I mean? Like, cause you don't want to, cause it's like you said, you put so much into it. You don't want someone to make it look like it's not as hard and stressful and you know, pressure filled. You know, that it is. You know, you don't want it to be depicted like it's not that easy, like anyone can do it, because it's not true.
It's totally not true. So, yeah.
There you go.
So it's good that people can kind of see that.
I love it. And that's what I got from it. But I kind of already knew that because, you know, being friends with, you know, all you guys, and all the folks I've had on. But yo, this has been a blast. I love you guys so much. Yeah.
Thank you for having
us. You're awesome.
Man.
I'm so glad you got to come by. Can't wait for all the great things that you guys have in store. Cause like I said, like, you're just going to be doing great things. So, you know, for everyone listening, like, definitely check them out. And, you know, real quick, you know, one more time, take the mic, say whatever you got to say. You got the floor, you know, support, you know, just get, you know, tell everyone where they can find you and just everything going on, and just go ahead.
Well, thank you for everyone who has supported us, up until now. And, you know, it's been a great time. We've met a lot of new people, and, you know, we hope to continue and meet more people and do more cool shit with you, like with everybody. If you want to check us out, we're at Bar 140 in Shelton, pretty much every Tuesday from 5 to 10. You know, come stuff your face with our food and drink Sandy's really sick cocktails.
Amazing service, by the way.
Yeah.
That needs to be said. Like, the bartenders are incredible. The service, the vibe, like, it's a tremendous atmosphere. If you're looking to just vibe out and chill, have a couple of beers and some amazing food, like, look no further. That's the spot.
Yeah.
Like,
come on through.
It's 100% Sweet Nut Podcast approved, baby.
We love that.
100%. It's got the big old stamp, because people ask me, where should I go? What should I do? Well, there you go. There's one of the places, Tuesdays.
Boom.
So there you go, dude. That's awesome. Love it. Well, thank you guys so much. I appreciate you guys so much. Is there anything you want to say, Kyle, before we wrap up? Or what would you like to say to the fine people?
Montreal steak seasoning is really good, guys. Go get some of that.
Yeah? What's in that? Like, just like...
It's just really good, guys.
Okay. That's awesome. Well, I'm definitely going to grab some of that and slap that what's that good on, a steak or like a...
Steaks? Chicken?
Spam? Coming soon?
Montreal spam seasoning. That's next.
Awesome. All right. Well, listen, I love you guys. Thanks for bringing the laughs. Thanks for bringing the energy. I really appreciate it. And until next time.
Huge thanks once again to my guests on the podcast today, Rob Haydar and Kyle Sorensen of Yumi Broshi. So happy for all the success that you guys have had. Thank you so much for telling me your story, and I look forward to seeing you guys soon at Bar 140 in Shelton on Tuesday.
Yet again, another episode of Sweeten Up is in the books. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Anywhere you get your podcasts, we would greatly appreciate your feedback and support. Thank you as always to my best friends, the guys who make it all possible, post-production and music Morgan Lutzi, production and art director Kurt Vinci, editor and writer Nick Pasticretta, and a special thanks as always to Devin Cipelli. Season 4 will continue to roll on, and episode 113 will be coming out in just a couple weeks. But until then, you know the deal. Stay safe, stay healthy, love you all. Peace.